The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be presenting the latest vision news. Today's vision news is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. First up from ACB.org, ACB welcomes Blind Barbie. A letter to Ms. Barbara Millicent Roberts of Willows, Wisconsin. Dear Blind Barbie, your recent debut has been an inspiration to individuals who are blind or living with vision challenges. The public perception of people who are blind is often that we are different in how we want to live, or in some way mysterious, since many people do not have the opportunity to interact with someone who is blind. The stylish nature of your presentation, rocking those high heels and having snazzy sunglasses at the ready, helps people young and seasoned envision blindness from a new perspective. It is with tremendous joy that the American Council of the Blind, ACB, awards you an honorary membership. Our 8,000 members and many more supporters enthusiastically welcome you to our organization. In fact, we are busily planning which committees best fit your skill set. Your membership fee is covered for this year, and if any of your friends would like to support ACB's ongoing work, they can visit www.acb.org to help us serve more individuals moving forward. We applaud Mattel and the American Foundation for the Blind for helping to make you a reality. Sincerely, T. Scott Thornhill, Executive Director, American Council of the Blind. Download the letter at https://www.acb.org/sites/default/files/blind-barbie-letter.docx. From AFB.org, 2024 AFB Leadership Conference, Leading in the Digital Age. Join us for the 2024 American Foundation for the Blind Leadership Conference, AFBLC, which will be held at the Hyatt Regency in Minneapolis, Minnesota, from September 23rd to 25th. Register at the hot link. We are delighted to hold this year's conference in Minneapolis. The motto for this great American city is Avant, which is French for forward. This motto plays a key role as we convene an anticipated 300 to 400 leaders and future leaders from every aspect encompassing the field, offering an engagement program that will look to the future of leadership impacting not just the millions of Americans who are blind, but the more than 42 million Americans who live life with vision loss each day. Featuring a rich history of fostering innovation and empowerment, the AFB Leadership Conference is a pivotal platform to convene corporations, advocacy groups, government representatives, and the blind and low vision community as we work together to shape the future of inclusion. Join us at the forefront of change as we navigate the intersection of technology and empowerment, paving the way for a more inclusive future for all. We hope to have you with us this year. Please check here for upcoming agenda updates, speakers, and all other 2024 AFBLC announcements. You can also select to sign up and receive all of our annual leadership conference updates at the hot link. Registration. Registration is open. You can now sign up to attend, become an exhibitor, or apply to be a speaker at this esteemed event. Additionally, hotel booking is available. Registration pricing. Early bird registration by August 9th is $450. Regular registration, full package price, $495. For exhibitor information, please email Ronak Patel at rpatel at afb.org. You can also check out how your organization can become a sponsor at that hot link. Hotel details. The 2024 AFB Leadership Conference's room rates are $229 for single or double occupancy, $254 for triple occupancy, $279 for quadruple occupancy. Reserve your room at the hot link at the Hyatt Regency, Minneapolis. From NOPBC.org, new NOPBC Announcements Group on Group B. Staying in touch with the NOPBC at conventions or beyond using your smartphone is as easy as 1, 2, 3. 1. Click Join NOPBC Announcements to visit our NOPBC Announcements group on GroupMe. 2. If you're new to GroupMe, you will be directed to download the GroupMe app on your phone and create a free account. If you are already a GroupMe member, the link should open in your GroupMe app. Click the Join Group button. 3. Receive NOPBC announcements in the GroupMe app and via text message. These will include reminders about various workshops, meetings, events, and to-dos at the NFB National Convention, along with information about NFB and NOPBC programs, webinars, legislative priorities, scholarships, and so much more throughout the year. Having trouble joining the group? Don't want to create a GroupMe account? Or have more than one app on your phone? Don't have a smartphone with a web browser, but can still receive text messages? We can help. Just send a text message to Melissa Riccobono at 443-803-0266. The message will need to include your name and that you would like to join the NOPBC Announcements group. Melissa will add you to the group using your phone number, and you will receive all announcements via text message only. From sites.google.com, the Mississippi MAER 2024 Conference, Inclusive Horizons, Navigating Assistive Technology and Accessibility, September 19 through 21, 2024. USM Gulf Coast Research Lab, Marine Education Center, 101 Sweet Bay Drive, Ocean Springs, Mississippi, 39564. Register at the hot button. Sam Seavey, keynote speaker. Sam Seavey, S-E-A-V-E-Y, founder of the Blind Life YouTube channel, is a renowned expert in assistive technology. With over 60,000 subscribers and over 800 videos, Sam provides valuable tips, reviews of assistive devices, and interviews with visually impaired community members. Diagnosed with Stargardt's at the age of 11, Sam has dedicated 30 years to researching and understanding assistive devices. He's been featured in prestigious publications like USA Today and Wired magazine, and collaborates with tech giants like Apple and Google. Sam currently manages an assistive technology program offering training and aiming to help everyone live their best blind life. Find out more about Sam and the Blind Life at theblindlife.net. Conference highlights: cultivate a supportive network. Create a platform for networking and sharing experiences among attendees, fostering a supportive community dedicated to advancing accessibility and inclusion for those with visual impairments. Explore new, popular, current technology trends. Become familiar with those technologies that focus on the needs of the visually impaired community, as well as mitigate some of the technology challenges faced by the visually impaired community. Empowerment. Empower persons with visual impairments to effectively navigate and utilize assistive technologies to enable greater independence and participation in society. Continuing education units available: ACVREP, CRCC, Mississippi Educators, Mississippi Board of Licensure for Occupational Therapists. The venue: USM Gulf Coast Research Lab, Marine Education Center. A visit to the Marine Education Center takes visitors through different coastal habitats, including the sensitive transition from forested bayhead to tidal marsh, as seen from the pedestrian suspension bridge on campus. Conference rates. Registration closes September 6, 2024 at midnight. Current AER members, $150 early bird rate on or before August 19, 2024. $165 regular rate after August 19, 2024. Non-AER members, $175 early bird rate on or before August 19, 2024. $190 regular rate after August 19, 2024. Students studying in the field of visual impairment, veterans, individuals with vision loss, and their family members can attend the conference free of charge. CATT sponsorship is available for up to 20 VI professionals. Click at the hot link for more details. Deadline to apply is August 15, 2024. Mississippi Department of Rehabilitation Services staff also have a special rate. Please contact MAER for more information. Those in groups who plan to attend must register for the conference. Register at the hot button. Can't make it in person? The keynote address with Sam CV will be made available live using Zoom video conferencing platform on Thursday, September 19th, 2024, time to be announced. ACVREP credit is being applied for. Rates, current AER members $25, non-AER members $35. Click at the hot link to register for the keynote presentation only. You can email contact at mississippiaer.org. From nfb.org, blind clinical social worker files lawsuit against Department of Veterans Affairs for violations of the Rehabilitation Act. National Federation of the Blind supports litigation. Washington, D.C. Lorette Santos, a dedicated and experienced clinical social worker employed by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs, VA, at its facility in White City, Oregon, has filed a lawsuit against the VA in federal court in the District of Columbia. The lawsuit alleges violations of Section 508 and Section 501 of the Rehabilitation Act of 1973, arising from the VA's use of inaccessible technology and failure to accommodate Ms. Santos, who is blind. The National Federation of the Blind, the transformative membership and advocacy organization of blind Americans, is supporting the litigation. Ms. Santos, who has served the VA for over a decade, relies on the Job Access with Speech, JAWS, screen reader software to perform her job duties. Screen readers convert text and other content on a computer screen into spoken words or braille output through a connected device, and allow blind users to access and interact with applications using a keyboard instead of a mouse. Despite her proven history of excellent performance coordinating services for visually impaired veterans and service members, the VA's implementation of an inaccessible electronic health record, EHR, system, Cerner Millennium, has severely curtailed her ability to do her job independently. Cerner Millennium is spelled CERNERMILLENNIUM. Section 508 requires all electronic and information technology purchased or used by federal agencies to be accessible. However, the complaint alleges the VA failed to ensure that the Cerner EHR system complied with Section 508 accessibility standards before its implementation. Despite multiple audits and repeated reporting of the system's inaccessibility, the VA deployed Cerner, which requires the use of a mouse and has other features incompatible with JAWS and other screen readers, at its White City facility. This deployment has forced Ms. Santos to rely on sighted colleagues to perform essential tasks, undermining her ability to serve veterans effectively and jeopardizing her clinical license. Furthermore, the VA has not provided Ms. Santos with the reasonable accommodations necessary for her to perform her job independently, in violation of Section 501. The VA has failed to offer a workable solution or a timeline for resolving the accessibility issues with Cerner. The lawsuit alleges that the VA's actions constitute ongoing violations of both Section 508 and Section 501 of the Rehabilitation Act. Ms. Santos seeks a declaration of her rights, a permanent injunction requiring the VA to halt the use of the non-compliant technology, and the establishment of accessibility review teams within the VA, among other relief. It is my privilege to serve our nation's courageous veterans, including many with disabilities, but my ability to do so is severely compromised, said Ms. Santos. This case is not just about me, but about the quality services our veterans deserve and the ability of all federal employees to provide these and other services to our country in a manner that is equally effective. Over 25 years after Section 508 of the Rehabilitation Act required federal agencies to procure and deploy accessible technology, covered entities like the VA are still overwhelmingly non-compliant, said Mark Riccobono, president of the National Federation of the Blind. We are supporting this litigation not only to help an outstanding blind employee of a critical agency, but also to serve notice to other agencies throughout the federal government that a continued willful failure to comply must come to an end, and that blind Americans will not stop fighting until it does. about the National Federation of the Blind. The National Federation of the Blind, headquartered in Baltimore, defends the rights of blind people of all ages and provides information and support to families with blind children, older Americans who are losing vision, and more. Founded in 1940, the NFB is the transformative membership and advocacy organization of blind Americans, with affiliates, chapters, and divisions in the 50 states, Washington, D.C., and Puerto Rico. We believe in the hopes and dreams of blind people and work together to transform them into reality. Learn more about our many programs and initiatives at nfb.org. Director of Public Relations, National Federation of the Blind. From wellandgood.com, I'm deafblind. Here's how traveling the world helps me embrace my disabilities and educate others. Elizabeth Jinnis, that's D-J-I-N-I-S. July was Disability Pride Month, an observance that began as one day in 1990 to celebrate the disabled community and the signing of the Americans with Disabilities Act, ADA. This legislation finally codified into federal law civil rights protections for people with disabilities, per the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. But more than 30 years since its passage, people with disabilities, like advocate Katerina Rivera, say there is still more work to be done, both in the way we accommodate people with disabilities and in the way we talk about them. There's an important point, for example, to be made about using the word pride and not simply awareness. For me, disability pride means I'm proud of who I am and all the parts of me, defiantly and powerfully. The world tells me I'm less worthy and less valuable and less capable, but I resist it all, Rivera says. People in general who view disability in a bad light can't even conceptualize why disability pride would happen, so I love that it pushes against their limited thinking. Rivera, a disability advocate and educator, started her Instagram account, Blindish Latina, in 2020, mostly with the goal of raising awareness about her own journey with blindness and deafness, accepting her disability, and beginning to live her life as a publicly blind person. Her account helps bust the stereotypes of what it means to be disabled, from how a deafblind public speaker needs to acquaint herself with a new stage to explaining the difference between alt text and image descriptions, and how to embrace travel and adventure with disabilities. I knew that my journey had been really long and that I could share something to both help other people like me and educate people who are unaware of disabilities, Rivera says. I felt like there wasn't enough conversation and enough understanding of blindness being a spectrum. Since 2021, Rivera's audience has grown. She now has more than 30,000 followers on Instagram. That's when she began to offer her services as a public speaker for conferences and companies on topics like disability awareness, inclusion, and ableism in the workplace. Now she has a number of initiatives in play, including accessibility consulting, partnerships with tourism agencies to promote travel for those with disabilities, and a free ebook on 12 easy ways to be inclusive. How her career in disability advocacy started. Rivera's story with her disabilities is long and winding. She was diagnosed with hearing loss at birth, but at 17 she discovered she had Usher syndrome, a rare genetic disease that can cause hearing loss in childhood, loss of night vision by teenage years, and severe vision loss by midlife, per the National Eye Institute. Rivera learned all this just before her freshman year at Duke University, which she attended on a full scholarship. It took time to accept and accommodate her new physical reality. On her website, she calls this the pathway from denial to acceptance to self-advocacy to public advocacy. It was a new element of disability to my life that I was not expecting. The surprise and shock of it was the first thing, she says. I was going to a new environment, new friends, new people, and I didn't want to deal with the idea that I had a progressive vision disability. Talking with Rivera now, you'll find this hard to believe, as she is the font of positivity. But at the time, she refused to even talk about her diagnosis. When she did, she'd utter the same sentence, "I'm going blind," and would immediately start to cry. "It was very much a tragedy in my mind at the time," she says. It wasn't until after college that she advanced to the next step, acceptance. She moved to New York City, actively choosing a city where she wouldn't have to drive before she'd be told to stop driving. She treasured her independence, seeking out other blind people and services from the New York State Commission for the Blind, and started to live life acknowledging she was a blind person. In her 30s, she took a job in Midtown, the most crowded part of NYC, but noticed her energy dwindling as she commuted to and from work each day. A potential solution floated through her mind. She could use a cane, but that would mean being publicly disabled. Another self-stigma and hurdle to overcome. Once I got the cane and I got over that, it was kind of a rush of inner power. I felt really confident in my identity, and I saw the cane opened up conversations, she says. Looking back, I knew there were lots of disabled people out there that were not accepting themselves. I felt that I should do something with all this capacity that I had, and that's really what spurred me to do something with my voice. How she teaches workplaces to be more inclusive. As an inclusion educator and consultant, Rivera has come to better understand certain obstacles. First, she knows how important it is to standardize accommodations for all. For example, leaving captions on for all meetings or internal videos. I see this firsthand when Rivera and I go to meet on Zoom, and I, naively, haven't enabled captions in advance. She goes through the steps of showing me how to activate automated captions in my advanced meeting settings, but wisely points out this wouldn't have been a problem had I had captions on for every meeting and not just hers. Normalizing inclusive procedures in professional life also takes pressure off those with disabilities to constantly disclose they are disabled. Not all disabilities are obvious to the average person, but just because someone's disability isn't visible to you doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Rivera's trainings focus on literal hard skills, i.e. accommodations like captions, and soft skills like identifying and avoiding common microaggressions toward people with disabilities. When it comes to our daily language, she points out how many phrases unintentionally use harmful words, like falling on deaf ears, which in this case utilizes a physical disability to mean ignorance. In her personal life, Rivera also notices the built-in biases, like when she's seated at a restaurant and the host only speaks to her partner, not her. Even though the ADA solidified civil rights protections for workers with disabilities, Rivera knows firsthand this is simply the floor. A lot of people in companies don't realize the ADA is the minimum standard, she says. It's not like you're doing an amazing job fulfilling people's accommodations requests. How traveling helps her embrace her disabilities. As Rivera built up her online platform and consulting business, she also saw a personal opportunity, the flexibility of life on the road. For the last few years, she's been traveling full-time, documenting her experiences on Instagram and her newly minted YouTube channel. Most of her work and public speaking events are virtual, allowing her to set off to destinations like Greece, Italy, Colombia, and Honduras so far. While abroad, she and her partner try to emulate normalcy as much as possible by renting an apartment, spending more than a month in one place, and sometimes joining a gym. They plan ahead, creating a document each time they stay in a new hotel or apartment with certain practices. Where are the light switches? Where do we put our shoes? Where are the outlets? Are there any obstacles Rivera could trip over? But it's the adventurous side of travel that Rivera loves and embraces, too. She's gone snow tubing and curling in Utah, hiking and horseback riding in Colombia, and spent a lot of time outdoors. In each of her videos, she reminds followers that these activities can be accessible for everyone. Rivera's activism also plays a role here. Her YouTube channel highlights everyday moments of traveling with a disability, from the importance of curb cuts, a downgraded slope from the street to the sidewalk, to her morning routine before going to a co-working space in Medellin, Colombia. These moments add nuance to what it means to live with a disability and shows the real demand that exists in the disabled traveler market, an industry that may represent as much as $58 billion in unexplored revenue, per a BBC article. Unexplored by some, perhaps, but not by Rivera, she highlights one particular transportation issue she experienced in Medellin. She was boarding a cable car. The city uses them for public transportation, and missed the first carriage. While she eventually made it into the next gondola, what she needed in that instance was simple. More time, not an elaborate contraption. With a disability, it's really important to highlight that a lot of times when we're talking about inclusion, it's not fancy technology, she says. We need communication. We need information. Patience, flexibility. A lot of these things are free. Still, some countries and cities are better equipped for people with disabilities than others. Rivera occasionally has to decide if she's willing to travel somewhere she really wants to see, even if it's not accessible. 2 years ago, she and her partner visited a few islands in Greece, where it became clear she couldn't feel fully independent. There were few sidewalks, little public transit, and a lack of lighting. She didn't feel like she could go out at night by herself. I don't like that feeling. So what I try to do is balance it out. I'm willing to deal with inaccessibility for short periods of time if I really want to go somewhere, she says. Rivera's travels have also helped foster brand partnerships with agencies like Delta Airlines and Visit Utah. While these videos have surely been a success from a viewership standpoint, they've also exposed Rivera to new audiences, perhaps not as well versed in the world of disabilities as her own community. She has received comments from people accusing her of faking her disability or asking why she would even want to travel as a deafblind person. What could she even do? Some commenters have said. Rivera doesn't internalize the naysayers, but rather interprets their words as a sign of how vital her work is. No matter how well I construct my videos, even if I put a disclaimer saying I have a little bit of vision but I'm still blind, you can't circumvent those comments, she says. I take it as evidence that my work is needed and that we need more disabled travelers. What Rivera's future holds. Although Disability Pride Month is coming to an end, Rivera's advocacy work is not about to stop. She will be a keynote speaker at the Kennedy Krieger Institute's October conference on neurodiversity in the workplace, offering what she calls a high-level message about disability inclusion in the workplace. She also has upcoming travel partnerships scheduled with Claire and George, Accessible Switzerland, and Destination Ann Arbor in Michigan. And while an aspect of disability pride is certainly increased visibility, Rivera's focus is also on changing the words we use when we talk about the disabled community. There has been a movement in recent years to use terms like differently abled instead of disabled, taking issue in particular with the prefix dis. But she notes that refusing to say disabled implies that being disabled is both a bad word and a bad thing. Language reflects our underlying beliefs and attitudes, she says. Language is an entry point to these deeper conversations, and it provides people with something they can do right away, something that is immediately actionable. From Olympics.com, we have an unprecedented Paralympic ceremony. A magnificent groundbreaking ceremony at the heart of the city. In 2024, Paris and France will host their first ever Paralympic Summer Games. Paris 2024 is thinking big and reinventing the opening ceremony by taking it outside of the confines of a traditional stadium. On 28th of August 2024 at 2000 hours, to be confirmed, Place de la Concorde and the Champs-Élysées will be the stage for this groundbreaking celebration in the heart of Paris. This innovative project will be led by Thomas Jolly, artistic director for the ceremonies. While the Paris 2024 Paralympic Games opening ceremony will be the first of its kind, its monumental and popular concept is, for me, first and foremost, a magnificent source of inspiration. From the Champs-Élysées to Place de la Concorde, I look forward to creating this spectacle that will transform the heart of Paris with performances that have never been seen before, a spectacle that will showcase the Paralympic athletes and the values that they embodied, a spectacle that will unite spectators and television audiences worldwide around the unique spirit of Paralympic Games. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of Vision News. I'm Doris Hyde, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's episode is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138.